Ramchal had said that reaching the concept of the level of Kedusha is different than one who is a Torah, one who is pure in other ways. And he defined that a person who is a Torah, which is in itself a very fine level of spirituality, is someone who does everything only because it is necessary to be alive so that one should be able to fulfill one's purpose on earth, so that one eats in order to have the energy to serve Hashem, and that is a very, very wonderful level of spirituality. However, he says it goes a bit further yet, because this person might very well feel, if I could sustain myself without having to go through these various necessities of maintaining my life by eating, sleeping, so forth, then I could have my whole time to devote to Torah and mitzvahs. While he does eat for the purpose of, for the lofty purpose of remaining alive and strong to be able to serve Hashem, the eating is a preparation for the mitzvah. It is not a mitzvah in itself. Now, eating matzah is different. Eating matzah is not the preparation for a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah itself. And Ramchal points out that when Kahanim or even Yisraelim ate from the meat of the korbanos, of the sacrificial offerings, they made a separate brocha, al achilas hazavach. It is a mitzvah to eat the meat of the korbanos. He says, so we see that not only can eating be a hechshel mitzvah, a preparation for a mitzvah, it can become a mitzvah itself. He says, this is what happens to the Kodesh. To the Kodesh, everything becomes a mitzvah in itself. Now, how does it become a mitzvah in itself? Well, we have learned that in everything there is a element of Kedusha, and that every physical object on earth has within it a spark of Elokus, a spark of divinity, which when used properly, that spark of divinity is returned to its appropriate place. And whereas this is indeed achievable by using an item as a preparation to enable a mitzvah to be done, a even clearer perception of this is the awareness that doing so in it is in itself a mitzvah. Restoring the dispersed particles of Kedusha to their original place is in itself a mitzvah. Therefore, he says, we find that the tzaddikim who lived their lives in this fashion had the divine presence with them, and this was referred to as there being a melkova l'shchina, a chariot upon which the divine presence rested, just as it did in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Umeata. Therefore, hamaychol shehem oichlim, the food that tzaddikim eat, hu kekorban she'oil al gabe ishim, is like a sacrificial offering on the fires of the Mizbeach, kevadahu she'nechshev le'ilo godol el oisim advorim she'oil al gabe Mizbeach, bringing things as an offering on the Mizbeach was considered elevating these things from their lowly physical status to Kedusha, kevin she'hoyu nikraim lefnei Hashchina, since they were now brought before the divine presence. The kol kach yisrael hoyu lahem b'zeh, in fact the Medrash says that this was such an elevation for the item brought upon the offering, at she'hoyu kol mina mizbeach b'chol olam, that this brought down a blessing on all of that species for the entire world, so that when one brought a korban mincha of grain, this then brought down a brocha, a blessing for the growth of grain all over the world. And the Chachamim have said, that the food, the drink, that a person who is a kodesh, who is truly holy, eats, that elevates that particular food item, kilo nikrav al gadlo mizbeach mamish, as though it were brought upon the altar in the Beis Hamikdash. V'inyan shamur olav, this is why the Chachamim say, kolamei v'der l'talmud chacham kilo ikrav bikurim, that giving a gift to a true Torah scholar is similar to bringing the first offerings for the mizbeach. V'chein amru, the Chachamim used the expression, yamal l'groinim shal talmid chachamim yain bimkaim nesachim, that if one wishes to fulfill the mitzvah of the libation of wine on the Mizbeach during our times when we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, one should give a gift of wine to a Talmid Chacham. This does not mean to imply that Torah scholars, who are Kedoshim, Shel Chas V'Chalila be indulgent in food and drink, that someone wants to supply them with an abundance of wine so that they can drink themselves to satiation. What it is referring to is the concept that I just mentioned, that Talmid Chachamim, who are sanctified in all their ways and in all their actions, are identical to the Beis HaMikdash and the older Mipnei Shashchina Sheir Aleihem, because the Divine Presence rests upon them, just as it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember reading that, I think it was, I may have the identities of the people wrong, but it involved one of the Tzaddikim and one of the Talmidim. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Koznetz HaMagid, and the Talmud would have been the Leleva. And the Koznetz HaMagid pointed out to someone who was sitting with him, look at that way he is eating. He takes a piece of food in his mouth, and it is a korban. It is an offering. He takes another piece of food in his mouth, and it is another offering. Another korban. So, as the Medrash says, it is possible to elevate oneself to that kind of Kedusha, where the individual serves the same function as the Mizbeach. Vihine hanikrav lahem, bringing things to a tzaddik, is kenikrav al gam mizbeach, is like bringing it on the altar, umila groinim tachas mila asfolim, and providing them with wine is like pouring the wine and the libation on the bowls of the mizbeach. Val derech zeh kol tashmishe shishtamshe medivrei yoylam, all of the things that a tzaddik uses, since they are constantly attached to Hashem, this becomes an elevation for the item that the tzaddik uses by his very use of it. And we see this, we see this when we learn the Rasha, where Yaakov slept on his way to Lavan. Omer Rav Yitzchak, and it says, the stones that Yaakov gathered to put around his head for protection, each stone was saying, each stone was wanting to be the one upon which Yaakov would rest his head, because being an item that is used by a tzaddik is the ultimate fulfillment for that particular item. Kvala Sheldova. You then have a summary of this. Inyan HaKedusha, that the concept of Kedusha, which we have learned in this Baraisa, Hushiyya Odom Dove Kol Kach Ve'elikov, means that a person should be so constantly in contact and close with Hashem, Ashebishu Ma'asa Sheyasa Lo Yeparad V'lo Yozuz Memeni Yizborach, that he is never separated from Hashem by anything that he does. The concept of give unto God what is God and give unto Caesar what is Caesar's is totally alien to Torah. There is no such thing as something which is in the realm of Kedusha and something which is mundane. As the Ramchal points out here, everything must be brought to a stage of Kedusha. We know that it is customary that when a person who is striving for spirituality indulges in some sort of mundane practice, whether it is either eating, sleeping, doing any of the kind of things that are the ordinary acts of everyday life, that this participation in the physical world can lower him somewhat from his lofty state of spirituality. He says that is until the person becomes a Kodesh. Once he becomes a Kodesh and uses everything within his reach, within his domain, only for Kedusha, as was pointed out, then instead of his being drawn down by the physical world, the physical world is elevated to his level. So he is not brought down, but to the contrary, he lifts the other things up. Achi Yemotze, until it comes, I'm sorry, V'omnamza, this is, however, this requires that a person's mind and brain should constantly be attached and firmly implanted into contemplation of the greatness of Hashem, and His majesty and His holiness, and not be separated from Hashem at all. Achi Yemotze, until it results, as though although the person is walking in this physical world, his presence is actually more in the world of Malachim, the spiritual world of angels, than it is here. But I've already said it, that this is not attainable by one's own efforts completely. All a person can do is sincerely try to reach that stage. And then, we said, once he tries his utmost and he's done everything within his means, then the rest is a matana, where Hashem lifts him up and brings him closer, once he has done everything that he should have. But this is only But he says, since Kedusha is placed by the Baraisa after all the previous traits, all of the others are necessary antecedents. They're prerequisite for this level of Kedusha to be reached. Because only then can a person successfully reach the level of Kedusha that I've described. Why? If he's going to try and reach for Kedusha before he has perfected all the other traits, and so he still has some defects, characterological defects, where his spirituality is incomplete, that can be similar to a Kohen who approaches the Beis Hamikdash to do the Avodah when he's disqualified. And there are certain disqualifications. For example, if a person isn't a Kohen at all, he has no right to be in the Beis Hamikdash doing the service. That's forbidden. Or if he has the kind of defect that would disqualify him, then a Kohen who's defective has that defect is not permitted to do the service at the Mizbeach. Shenema b'vizola yikner. This person is an alien to the Mizbeach. So a person who's going to try and strive for Kedusha before he's adequately prepared himself for it is just like, is not a mitzvah at all. It's a person approaching the Mizbeach who has no business being there. It's only after one has prepared himself adequately with all the previous preparations. If he continues to attach himself with an intense love and a strong reverence and fear of Hashem, when he is constantly in contemplation of the greatness of Hashem and the greatness of His Majesty, and he separates himself progressively from involvement with physical things, and in all his actions and in all his movements, he directs his heart to the concealed attachment with Hashem in the depths of his mind. Then he brings down upon himself a sacred spirit from above. The Yashkin Abayri is Baruch Shemoy Olav, and Hashem will bring his spirit to rest upon him, as he does to all his holy people. Then he will be equivalent to a spiritual angel, and all of his actions, even the lowest, become elevated to Kedusha, just like the service in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can now see, Shederach Kenias Ois Hamida, the acquisition of Kedusha, who are Yedei Roiv HaPrisha, that is separating oneself from physical indulgences, and a intense meditation and contemplation about Hashem's supervision and Hashem's constant observation, providence of Him, umatzbune habriya, and the secrets of creation, and the awareness of Hashem's majesty and His praises, achiz dabik boi dvekus yoisa min hakor, and until he reaches the point, until he reaches a point of great attachment to Hashem, and he'll be able to direct his thoughts and intentions, even when he is engaged in doing kinds of things which are not imminently related to Torah and Mitzvahs. Similar to the kavona, to the intentions and meditations of a kohen when he is preparing the offering, or sprinkling the blood of the korban on the of the sacrifice on the mizbeach, and that is the kind of intention that he will have, that the kodesh, the tzaddik, will have in all of his deeds, which will then bring down the blessing from Hashem, life and peace. V'zulazah, without having perfected himself in all of these antecedent ways that we had talked about until now, v'yefshah she'asig ma'lazo, there is no way that he could achieve Kedusha. V'yishor al-kaponim chomer v'gashmi k'chol shel b'nei adam, and if he tries to achieve Kedusha before he has perfected all of his other traits, he will remain very much a physically absorbed person, just like everyone else, and he will not achieve Kedusha. It's worthwhile to repeat over here something that I'm sure that we said much earlier, but now it becomes much more evident, that a chosid had once remarked to one of the rebbes, and I think it was to the Rishonim, that he had read in Sforim that if a person fasts consecutively 40 days, that he will achieve Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit. And he said, I did, I fasted faithfully for 40 days, consecutively. And nothing has happened, I don't feel a change. The Rishonim said to him, he says, you know, we know that the Baal Shem used to travel with Kfitzos HaDerech, meaning that he would begin traveling and the distance would be of hours and days, but could be covered in minutes. And it's known that the Baal Shem had a driver, drove the horses, Alexei. And Alexei would hitch up the horses to the wagon and get up in the driver's seat, and the Baal Shem would tell him to turn around, with his back to the road. And the horses would speed, b'kfitzas haderech. So he said, customarily, when you traveled the long distance, at various stops on the way, the horses would be stopped and watered and fed. Twice or three times during a long journey, at lunchtime, at dinner time, people would get off and go into the inn and eat. Well, when the horses, Hashem's horses, saw they were traveling by at this horrendous speed, and they were not stopping at these inns, at these feeding places, they began to think, how come we're not stopping to be fed and watered? They began thinking, maybe we're not horses, maybe we are people. People don't stop at every place, they stop twice a day just for meals. Well, when they began to pass by those inns that the people usually stopped at, they said, now wait a second, if we were people, how come that we're not stopping to eat at the inns that the people usually stop? And so they began to think, we must be malochim, we must be angels, we don't even need to eat or drink at all. When they finally arrived at their destinations and they were unhitched and fed hay and water, they said, well, I guess we're horses after all. So the Rishonim said, if you fast 40 days, And as a result of the fasting of 40 days, you now eat totally different than you did before the fast. So it has made, the fasting has made a change in the way you conduct yourself. He says, that's the kind of fasting that can bring you to the HaKadosh. He says, but if you fast 40 days, and after the 40 days you go back, just like the horses, who thought already they were Malachim, but going back to eat the hay and the water that they always did. If after 40 days of fasting, no changes occurred, and you go back to what you were previously, he says, so, what have you accomplished? No Ruach HaKodesh. V'hine ma'asha oiza l'hasogas hamida hazois. What can assist a person in achieving Kedusha, who ha'yus boi dedus v'aprishas haraba, is to seclude oneself, to be able to be free of the diversions of the world that take a person away from contemplation of Kedusha, Kedesha beheder ha'matridim, so that in absence of kinds of things that will disturb his, that might interfere in, with his meditation and contemplation of Godless Hashem, in absence of these things, if a person takes proper time for meditation and seclusion, tuchal nafsha lehisgaber yoyser ledovik babere, a person's neshama will be able to gather strength, grow in strength, and to unite itself with Hashem, with its Creator.
Is that an endorsement for monastic life? I mean, that's
no,
a Jewish concept.
He had said this before. He said that the concept is not to separate oneself, but to have periods of isolation and seclusion during which one can then have the proper meditation. Now, a monastic life means to totally separate oneself. This is not a total separation, but someone once said, one of the tzaddikim said, a person who doesn't have an hour a day for contemplation and meditation is not a mensch. I don't know how many people have take off an hour a day, or half an hour a day, or 15 minutes a day, just to sit and think, what is this all about? And we are so absorbed with everything that we do that we don't have the hour a day and the 15 minutes or half an hour a day for isolation and seclusion and meditation is hardly to be considered a monastic life. So, no, we don't advocate neither monasticism nor asceticism, but one should be in a kind of state where even being with people and interacting appropriately with people will not detach one from Kedusha. And that can be achieved if one spends the proper time, the minimum time, in proper meditation. To be continued. Ramchal is continuing now with the concept of Kedusha, where he had talked about the ways in which Kedusha can be obtained, and his definition of Kedusha was that every act that a person does becomes Kodesh, becomes sacred. And as an example, he gave, not only does one eat as a hefshel mitzvah, which is a very fine spiritual level, meaning that one eats not to indulge one's appetite, but in order to be well and healthy to serve Hashem, in which case the eating is for a ultimate purpose of serving Hashem. He says there's one step beyond that, and that is that the eating itself becomes a mitzvah, just as when the Kahanim ate the meat of the sacrificial offerings, where they made a brocha that it was to a mitzvah to eat that meat, like we make a brocha on achilas matzah, where there's a mitzvah in the eating itself. And that was the example that he gave, that a person's every act could be l'shem shemayim. Now, what detracts a person from achieving kedusha, mafsid hamida, these detractions, distractions or deterrents to this, hem chesron hayidias hamitias, is a lack of true understanding and knowledge of Torah and Midas and what a person is supposed to do. The Roiv HaChevra Im Bnei Yodah. And also, too much companionship and association with people and not having enough time for contemplation. If there's too much external distraction, you don't have time to think clearly for oneself. Ki achamrias moitze yasminoi. Physical cravings are subject to being stimulated. And if you associate with others who are engaged in living a very physical life, that will impact itself upon an individual, and v'neir u'mischazek, and it arouses and strengthens his physical drive, v'nisheres ha'nefesh l'chuda boi v'letzeitem ha'soro, so that the soul now, the neshama then, remains that we're entrapped in a goof that is indulgent in physical things. You see that the Torah emphasizes the impact of associations. And many, many times the Torah warns us, don't associate with idolaters. You will learn from them. And it's a warning which is repeated numerous times in Torah. David HaMelech says, Vayisalva Bagoyim Vayilmedu Maaseyim. They intermixed with other nations, and they learned from their deeds. And the Rambam says that inasmuch as people are very much influenced by their environments, therefore, he says, if you find yourself living in a corrupt environment, get out. Find a decent environment. And he says, if the whole world becomes so corrupt that there's no community in which you can live that is not corrupt, he says, go live in a cave in the woods. But don't associate with corruption, because corruption will get you. Degeneration will get you. Now, I think that if one were to say, yes, but we can resist that. Well, Thailand is smarter than we are. And we don't avoid the impact. Now, we can keep television out of our homes and avoid the provocation and the violence. And, of course, anybody who allows their children to see the moral degeneration and the behavior and the violence, right, should not have the slightest question as to why they are impacted upon with bad midas. Because what you see does influence you. One does not need a psychological study to prove the truth of that. But let's say that one tries one's utmost not to be impacted. So we do not mix with other peoples, and we keep kashrus strictly, and we keep Shabbos strictly, and there's no danger of socializing and fraternizing and so forth. Are we then free from the impacts of the goyim? And the answer is, of course not. There are impacts that happen that are so insidious and so surreptitious and so covert that we might not even realize that they are harmful influences. For example, the Torah says that if a couple is truly incompatible, the Torah provides for dissolving the marriage. So there is a halacha of get in the Torah. And there can be a kosher get which separates a couple, and they're free to remarry. Traditionally, in Jewish history, this was a rarity. It happened, but it didn't happen in the percentages that's happening now. Now it's alarming, and it's alarming not only among non-committed Jews, but it's alarming among the Torah population. Now what happened there? Something happened that there was this is not anything halachically wrong. It's halachically legitimate. But there's something very wrong about it. There's something very wrong in the whole fiber, the traditional family social fiber of what used to happen in the Jewish family. Now, maybe we're not running a 50% incidence like the non-Jewish world is, but we're running a higher, much greater incidence than ever before in history. Now, what happened? Other than the fact that we picked up non-Jewish traits, we have them kosher. We have them glatt kosher with a kosher get, but it's still non-Jewish. So, who knows what it is? Other than the fact that some attitudes of the environment have impacted upon us. It's no longer the kind of thing that is totally alien. There used to be some sort of stigma to divorce. And maybe that wasn't justified because if there was a reason for separation, for terminating a marriage, then there was adequate reason. The Torah provided get. But for the same time, even if the stigma wasn't legitimate, the idea that divorce really should not occur was an essential part of Jewish family life. And today it's without a second thought. Now, I have my ideas about it, but sometimes I say facetiously, and not so facetiously, that we are living in a use and discard society. Go back 50 years and there was not a throwaway society. We used things and we had a relationship to them. I told you, I had a Schaefer pen that I got from my bar mitzvah. It lasted me through residency for over 20 years. And when one day it was lost, I felt the loss. Yeah? It was part of my daily attire. I had a relationship to an inanimate object. Now look, this pen, ballpoint pen. I have no idea where I got it from. I don't know if I had it 5 days ago. And I may not have it by the end of the day today. It's a total meaningless object. I will not have a relationship to it. Yeah? Worst comes to worst. Now, maybe I picked it up, was given the... Worst comes to worst, I'll pick up another eight for a dollar. And, we take a look at the whole throwaway concept. So, I would suggest you to take a radio and go into a shop and ask for a repair. They'll look at you as though you're Meshuggah. You repair a radio. I remember taking a radio to the repair shop. You don't repair a radio. You don't like the radio. It's not working. You throw it out. Get a new one. Making too much noise, too much static, get a new one. Yeah. There were some way to repair it. The cost is prohibitive. I mean, the whole idea. The only reason you ought to keep a car over 3 years if you can't possibly afford a trade-in. Well, otherwise, if you're at the socioeconomic level where you can afford a trade-in, you expect it to trade in your car for 3 years. What's wrong with the car? Nothing. So why do you have to trade it in? Because. Now, there's nothing non-Jewish about that. There's no halacha that says that that you have to fix a small appliance. So from the halachic aspect, we're safe. There's still something very non-Jewish that we picked up from the environment. An attitude of lightheadedness, an attitude of trivializing relationships. And we don't have relationships with objects, we don't have relationships with people. If a person separates himself off from a group, he has some time to spend for himself, he can meditate and prepare himself for the Shekhinah to be with him. If a person wants to go this way and will take the time and make the efforts to achieve Kedusha, then Hashem will lead him in that way. And with the help, with the divine help that Hashem will give him, if he really wants this, then his neshama will strengthen and will triumph, and will overcome the physical craving, and will attach itself to the Kedusha of Hashem and be perfect with it. Now, he took the Baraisa, which came up to the traits of Kedusha, and ends up with two other traits, Ruach HaKodesh, Divine Spirit, and Tzias HaMeisim, and Resurrection. And he says, once he gets to this level of Kedusha, Misham Yala Malagvoya Yosha, there he can arise to even a higher state, the Ruach HaKodesh, and that is to be blessed with Divine Spirit, because he has reached a level of meditation where he has bordered as far as the human mind can get, and now Hashem helps him once he reaches that stage. Once he reaches that limit, Hashem helps him over the rest of it. And he can then achieve Ruach HaKodesh and get to a status that is so great that it's perfectly possible that he can even achieve the capacity to resurrect the dead. We find this was given to Eliyahu HaNovi and to Elisha HaNovi. Because that is the level that shows an ultimate adhesion to Hashem, an absorption into Kedusha, that inasmuch as Hashem is the source of life who gives life to everything, all inanimate things can receive that life from Hashem. Therefore, a person who has achieved an absolute unification, an identity with Hashem, which is possible through Kedusha, then he has the capacity even to resurrect the dead. As the Chachamim have said, that there are some things that Hashem does not give over to a messenger, and one of them is Mafteach Kriyas HaMesim. One is the capacity to resurrect the dead, which is never given over to a malach. However, a tzaddik, a human being, who achieves the level of Kedusha to identify with Hashem, when a person is totally identified with Hashem, he can achieve what a malach does not achieve, because a malach has to be given it and cannot achieve unity with Hashem, whereas a human being can surpass a malach in Kedusha and make himself become so one with Hashem that the capacity of restoring life can go over to this person who has Kedusha. Shehu ma'ashem ishyaches loy bifrat yoysa min akol, because this is something which a person can achieve, a human being can achieve, that he has the power of receiving the life-giving force from Hashem, k'mo shekasavti, as I have written, v'hu ma'ashem shayma b'raisa. And this is why the Braisa says that Kedusha may be able to do HaKadosh, Ruach HaKadosh may be able to do Tchiyas HaMesim. Once you've achieved Kedusha, you can have the Divine Spirit resting upon you, and so much so one with Hashem that you can even be in a position to resurrect the dead. Rata Kerenoim, now my dear reader. Yadati, I understand that you know as well as I do. I have not exhausted all of the rules of piety of Chassidus, and of course I have not completely covered the subject comprehensively, because there is no end to this, and that this is infinite, and there is no conclusion to how one can reach the understanding and meditation of thoughtness. I just gave some of the individual components of the Braisa that I, upon which I base this book, and studying this Braisa and understanding of the explanations that I've written, that can serve as a first step, that can serve as a beginning. Since we have now revealed what the Braisa means, so that you can understand what each trait is supposed to consist of, from there on, we find that the Posik says, Yishma Chocham V'Yosef Lekach, that a wise person who listens will add to his wisdom, V'Nochen Tachbuluch Yigra, and a person of understanding will find techniques and methods to achieve it. V'Habo L'Tayr, and if a person sincerely wants to purify himself, Messiah Moisei, Hashem will help him do so. Because Hashem gives wisdom, and from his mouth there is knowledge and understanding. So each person can set a straight path before his Creator. And this is clearly understood. That each person, according to whatever it is that is his occupation and his natural inclinations, that is the kind of guidance that a person requires. The way to acquire chassidus and piety for a person who is totally absorbed in Torah day and night, those are not the same techniques that a person must use who is occupied in doing work in the workplace. And again, neither of those are applicable to a person who is engaged in commerce. Same is true of all kinds of separate details with which the person occupies himself in the world. Each person, regardless of what he does, has a particular way, is always suitable for chassidus, and there are particular ways in which each individual should appropriately achieve chassidus according to what his lifestyle is. I am not saying that there are different kinds of chassidus. The goal is the same in everyone. The only question is, what are the methodologies? He says, I have given you the basic principles, and it's impossible to write an exhaustive trait for each individual what he must achieve. Therefore, this is left to the guidance and understanding and study of individual, and with Torah and Tefillah and proper guidance from Chachamim, each person can achieve according to what his own lifestyle is, according to a methodology that may be unique for each person. It is certain that chassidus, the ultimate goal, is equal for everyone. Since the ultimate goal of chassidus is to live a life that will give nachas, that will give pleasure to Hashem, that will give a nachas ruach to Hashem. Aval hoyel v'anoisim mishtanim, since different people live under different circumstances, then it's obvious that since people are different, their lifestyles are different, people may need different methodologies to all arrive at the same goal. But the goal is the same. Each person according to his own way of life. It is just as possible that a person could achieve chassidus, a person who is absorbed in his daily life in business or in labor, whatever kind of occupation he has, that is just as accessible to him, similar to the person who is absorbed in learning all day. And this is something which is interesting. The Ramchal had no connection with the Baal Shem Tov, and this was one of the strong emphases of chassidus, that a person who has the capacity to learn is mechuyav to learn day and night, according to whatever his circumstances permit. But people who were unfortunate and did not get the training in Torah, and this happens so often in Europe, and yet they were sincere and wanted to do what Hashem wants. And the Baal Shem said that since they were limited and could only do according to their limited capacities that they were given, that whatever they do to the utmost of their capacities is as dear to Hashem as what the greatest Torah scholar does. And this is why the Baal Shem was so endeared. The simple folk who had scant knowledge of Torah and yet were very sincere and dedicated in their service of Hashem. And it called forth a significant response from the existing powers that be, who felt themselves threatened that Hashem was minimizing the importance of Torah. No way. And here Ramchal, who is essentially a contemporary of the Baal Shem, says the same thing, and Ramchal was not a chosid. The Machal is as highly revered by Misnagdim as he is by Hasidim. The Gaon, said that had he been in the generation of the Ramchal, he would have gone barefoot to learn Musa from.
In his later life.
Pardon me?
In his later life.
The Chosuv, Koil Payal Hashem Lamaneo. The Torah says, God created everything for his sake. The Chol Drachecho Da'eyu, know your ways and Hashem in all your ways. He will straighten your paths. So whichever lifestyle a person has, it is possible for every person to reach a level of Kedusha. It's possible for every person to reach a level of Ruach HaKodesh. It's possible for every person to reach the Madrega of Elisha and Elio, to be so attached to Hashem that one has the capacity even of Tachiyas HaMeisim. Hu Yizvorach Shemai Barach Bo Yifkech Anenu B'Sarosai, and Hashem with His infinite mercies should open our eyes to His Torah V'Yarei Nidrochav, and should teach us His ways V'Yalecheinu V'Yachesav, and should lead us in His paths V'Nizkel us His covered Lishmoi, so that we should merit to give honor to Hashem's name, Velasis Nachas Ruach Rafonav, and to do His will and bring pleasure to Hashem. Yechoyd Hashem L'Olam Yismach Hashem B'Masov. That ends with the two psukim of Tehillim, that the honor of Hashem will endure forever, and Hashem will be happy in His works. Yismach Yisrael B'Yosef, and just as Hashem rejoices with His works, B'nei Yisrael will rejoice with Hashem. B'nei Yitzin Yagil B'Malkam, the sons of Zion will be happy, will rejoice with their king. Amen, amen, amen.